Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for one second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two on this Friday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It's Ben, it's Donnie, it's our coach, James Young, JY, from the very start of this second hour as we approach All-Star Weekend in the WNBA out in Phoenix. We will see Team WNBA All-Stars versus Team USA tomorrow night in the desert before Team USA looks to win yet another gold medal in Paris. And the other players get a long-awaited break. The Olympic break will take us all the way to August 15th. So we have a while until regular season action resumes, JY, but we'll get your early looks at what the second half of this year in the W will have in store. Thanks for being here on this Friday on TEL.
There's nothing better for the coach to get a workout in with his trainer and then come in with the dynamic duo to start my weekend. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning to you, JY. We appreciate the activity on this Friday. So as we have said in Major League Baseball, similar story here in the WNBA. Yes, the All-Star break, the long Olympic break, but most teams around the W have played near 25 games, past the halfway point technically of a 40-game regular season. But let's go to JY's scouting report and his watch list in the WNBA. Let's start individually here, JY, with your player to watch in the home stretch, trying to lead her team to glory this year in the WNBA. Who would that player be?
You know, Sabrina Ionescu has been on an absolute heater. She was, I think, player of the month in the Eastern Conference in June. She just got player of the week just this past week, announced last night, even though Caitlin Clark had a 24-19 game. She has been absolutely dynamic. Her ability to shoot the ball from three, people can forget how good Sab was at Oregon, because part of it was people weren't watching as much. And then obviously her senior year was COVID and it canceled the NCAA tournament. But Sabrina Ionescu is one of the most dynamic guards. If you look at Caitlin Clark, you look at Sabrina Ionescu, a little bit different in the game, but a girl like Sab, who is getting 19.4 points per game, top 10 in the WNBA, 6.2 assists per game. Remember, she's primarily the two guard, but had to move to the point when Sloot went out with injuries and missed about 10 games and rebounds the ball. Simply put, Ben, she has, with a team, with Courtney Vandersloot, a team with Bananas and Laney Hamilton, with Jonquel, with Stewie, Ben, she has been the best player for the New York Liberty. She's gone on some incredible run this last month and a half. And if the Liberty are going to win the WNBA championship, I get worried about Stewie because they load up on her. If Sab can play like this, this gives the Liberty a great chance to win a WNBA title because her ability to score from three and create off the bounce, not only for herself, but for her teammates.
Take a look at the top standings here in the WNBA. Four teams, coach, with 17-plus wins on the season. The Storm, the Lynx, the Sun, and the Liberty. And I see there a team to watch here would be the Connecticut Sun, sitting at 18-6. What are we looking for from the Connecticut Sun once we return in about a month post-All-Star and Olympic break?
Can the acquisition of Marina Mabry do what I think it's going to do, which is have someone that can make shots? Listen, I know Marina is only shooting 35% for the year from three, but she's also made more three-point attempts right, per game, than anybody in the history of the Connecticut Sun since Katie Douglas in 2006. Yikes, that's a long time. So if you have someone like Marina that can knock down shots, she's tough as nails, she is a two-way player, and let me tell you something, she's a Jersey kid. So, of course, you know, Coach Young's going to have a little bit of that Jersey bias that she's down the way from Manasquan. I've known this kid since she was about 10 years old. I've known her family for over 20 years. This girl is as competitive as they come, and she fits what the Sun need perfectly in regards to toughness, in regards to defense, but she gives them what they need the most is shooting. If she can make shots and run the point, that makes things easier for people, especially like Alyssa Thomas, who doesn't shoot from three, but can punch the gap and get open looks. It's something that is needed for Connecticut, one of the worst shooting teams from three in the WNBA. Got one of the best shooters in the league in Marina Mabry.
One of the best defensive teams in the WNBA, that's Connecticut. But to JY's point, the additions offensively, Marina Mabry, a huge spot for the Sun. An 8-1 price on Connecticut, that is the third best number to win a WNBA title behind both the New York Liberty and the Las Vegas Aces that enter the All-Star and Olympic break as co-favorites at plus 155. Now let's talk award races, JY, before we get your title prediction. To win the MVP award, it seems as though Asia Wilson has already grabbed it, her second in the last 3 years. Minus 3,000 to win the MVP. So, JY, I'm not going to ask you who's going to win the WNBA MVP hardware this year. I'm going to ask you to highlight the best of what Asia Wilson does for Las Vegas. What is it that works so well for the Aces?
I was getting excited because I was going to go on a limb and go chalk and say Asia Wilson to be MVP. I don't think that's a really much of a value play. There's no value in that whatsoever. Now, when you look at Asia Wilson, Ben, it is her ability to absolutely control the boards. She is a rebounding machine. Her post play is scintillating. She's able to use her power to kind of get people off her. She's got a nice stroke. And she is competitive. I don't know if you guys saw this. They lost their last game to the Chicago Sky. And Usher was at the game. And a bunch of her teammates wanted pictures. And Asia Wilson was not too happy. She let it know that it's on social media. And I think that may be the biggest thing. She's competitive. She wants to win. This is about her legacy. She wants to win another championship. And she's got to do more in regards to leadership because I honestly think, Ben, people may not think so. I think they miss Candace Parker. I think Candace Parker being in that locker room, even though she was hurt second half of the year, she got them to play the right way. She got them to play defense. She took pressure over players like Kia Stokes. Asia Wilson is now taking that mantle of the leader of this team, and she will drag all of them to the finish line, even in games like against Chicago, where their defense started to lapse.
Taking a look at that rookie of the year marketplace here, Coach, and looks like we're getting a runaway now. Just about a week and a half ago, while that double-double streak was intact for Angel Reese, we were looking at price points here for Caitlin Clark, minus 550, minus 600. After that double-double streak was broke, it quickly rocketed up to minus 1,000. We now see this price point at a minus 2,000 here. So my question to you is not, like, will Caitlin Clark win this award? Is this award going to get shorter, or is it just a runaway from here where we might be looking at some off the board once we get back to action in the WNBA?
Listen, the only way this thing becomes any kind of story is if Caitlin Clark goes through some kind of serious slump. They're playing so much better basketball. You can argue right now that Caitlin Clark's a top 10 player in the WNBA. Right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think so at the beginning of the year. But right now, you can't name five players playing better than this kid right now. So it's over. It's done. And you know what? As soon as this thing happened, when she won that game versus the Liberty, it was hold my beer, and then Caitlin Clark basically shut the whole damn door shut with that performance versus Dallas. That had nothing to do with them not playing defense. She was unbelievable at what I watched. What do you want to call her? Larry Bird, Steve Nash, Tina Pinchero? I don't care. Put them all together, make a pot of gumbo. That's how good she was. She was unbelievable. She's a top five player in the board, and don't even try betting on Angel Reese to win Rookie of the Year.
19 assists for Caitlin Clark, albeit in a losing effort because of the poor defense from Indiana on Wednesday night in the Fever's final game before the All-Star and Olympic break. That the most ever in the history of the WNBA in a single game. I think there's an argument to be made that after this long Olympic break and some rest for some of the top rookies that played last year in college basketball, they might even come out better than they were before. We'll talk more around the W All-Star weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All-Star Weekend in Phoenix in the WNBA. One final piece of the scouting report from our coach JY here for a second consecutive segment before we look at what all of the festivities All-Star Weekend has to hold out in the desert. JY at the bottom, we asked for your title prediction this year in the W. You see a rematch of last year's championship set between the Liberty and the Aces, but maybe a different outcome. What is it about this year's Liberty team that will lead to a title victory over the Aces, unlike a season ago?
Well, number one, I think the improved play of Sabrina Ionescu is probably the biggest takeaway that I have. Number two, I just look at a team like Las Vegas, and maybe they turn it on, turn it off. They have some weird losses, and they give up when they lose, they give up a boatload of points, Ben. And who comes in as one of the best offenses in the WNBA? Yes, that would be the New York Liberty. Number three, they have a problem with Jonquel Jones. This girl absolutely shreds them every time they see them. I don't know what Becky Hammon could possibly do. Unless they make a trade, you could turn around and you could put Asia Wilson on, obviously, Jonquel. Now, what that's going to do is that's going to unlock Stewie. And Stewie, I still think at some point, is going to put together a better than a 3-for-17 game four performance is the last time she faced off against the Aces in the playoffs. So I think you get a better version of the Stewie. And I just look at this Liberty team as they have to get over a hump. This is the only, if I'm not mistaken, the only original franchise in the WNBA that does not have a WNBA title. All they had was a Commissioner's Cup title that they won at Las Vegas last year. I do believe in this team. And honestly, they better win it because there could be changes with next year with the expansion. Could people be moved? There's always talk about it when they go to the Bay. Sabrina's from out by the Bay. Does she end up going there? So they're running out of time, Ben, and their time is now.
Catching lightning in a bottle is what the WNBA was doing. They have the All-Star game on Saturday night, and you couldn't pick a better format, Coach. Team USA versus the WNBA All-Stars. We look at the line. It's a 5.5-point number as a favorite towards Team USA. The initial look for me would be, that's absolutely crazy, because theoretically you're supposed to have the top 15 players on one side versus the rest of the league. It should be a runaway. But now as we set up, it's Angel Reese. It's Caitlin Clark trying to make a, you know, what, basically even the playing field by saying we should be on this WNBA Team USA. What is the deal in this All-Star game? And quite frankly, who wins this bad boy?
First things first, I'm going to say this, and this will be the highest rated women's event in the history of this country, because this is where the narrative comes in. You have obviously Team USA. Then you have the greatness of Caitlin Clark, who some people believe, rightfully so, should be on Team USA. So now you have all these things coming together. Playing the game Saturday night, 8:30, perfect spot. I think there's going to be plenty of eyes on this game. And listen, Diana Taurasi kind of already put it out there, saying we have a lot to prove. They have a lot to prove in a couple of fronts. Number one, they're just getting together. Number two, they're looking at a girl across the floor who many think should be there. These are very competitive women. I think this is going to be, honestly, this ain't going to be the NBA All-Star game. This is going to have some juice. This is going to have some sizzle. This may even, folks, this may even have some defense in there. But that being said, the length, the experience, it already has moved a little bit. I think it was the 4.5. I think when it first came, I'm up to 5.5. I do like Team USA because they got to get up to a good start. They don't have a lot of time. I do like them to cover the spread in the game Saturday night.
JY, if the Saturday night WNBA All-Star Game outdraws the national championship game in the women's NCAA tournament between Iowa and South Carolina at 18.9 million viewers, I will Venmo you $18.90. There's not a chance in the world it outdraws them from a TV viewership perspective, but it might be the highest WNBA All-Star Game ever in its rating. Let's talk about the actual game itself. You mentioned it's going to have some juice. 5.5-point spread, 194. In a hook, is that over under? How would you approach it from a handicap perspective in terms of laying down a wager tomorrow night?
Well, I think it's going to be Team USA minus the points because I think their experience, and I think the fact that for them, they've also been in this Olympic, they've been in this pool together. So they've actually had practices and stuff over the last 2.5 years leading up to this. This isn't just roll the ball out. First time a lot of these ladies have been on the floor together. They've been in the Olympic pool training and working together in the offseason. So I do think that is where you like it. Over under, I probably will just go team total over for Team USA because I think they'll be able to score and score at will versus the WNBA All-Stars. And Ben, you may be right. 18.9 million viewers. But Caitlin Clark has dragged this league into heights that we've never, ever seen. And there is a narrative that a lot of the Caitlin Clark supporters are going to watch this game because they want to see how she does. I think you get the other side of the people that want to see, can she do it? So, I mean, you may sit there and say that there's no chance. Maybe it's not 18.9 million viewers. I think it surpasses WNBA All-Star game. I think it surpasses every WNBA game, period, on Saturday night.
It will be fun to watch, and also you'll see Team USA certainly come together there. You see Team USA, the men's basketball side, doing fairly well in Abu Dhabi right now. Looking at that odds market, Team USA is a heavy favorite, just like the men's, even more so at a minus 1,800, France, Belgium, Japan, and China follow behind. Are we worried about Team USA women's edition here this summer, or is it going to be a cakewalk like typically it's been in the past?
No. Who are you worried about? I mean, it's different than with the men, with the fact that you can line up how many of the top 10 players in the world are actually non-U.S., right? You line up the top women's basketball players in the world, and even if I'm going to take a woman, okay, because even though she plays in Nigeria, she is an American. I'm going to take a bunch of those players that could be played across for another country. Simply put, we probably have the best 12 players in the tournament, not even close. They're going to blow people out. It's just a matter of how much are they going to win games by.
Yeah, absolutely. So those spreads are going to be ridiculous. Team USA has won 7 consecutive gold medals dating back to 1996 at the Olympic Games. More on the Early Line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Before we get to the WNBA All-Star Game tomorrow night, there is the skills competition in the three-point contest as well. Now, just to clarify a couple of statements that we made yesterday, both Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu were offered spots in the three-point field and both politely declined. So that's why they are not involved in the three-point shootout. But the favorite to win the three-point contest at an even plus 100 price, that's Kayla McBride of the Minnesota Lynx, the most made threes this year at 76. As we look at the skills challenge, Erica Wheeler, a 3-1 number is the favorite. JY's New Jersey girl, Marina Mabry, there at a plus 330 price as well. JY, how will you approach the handicap of the competitions on All-Star Weekend in Phoenix?
Isn't it amazing that people don't realize this, that they don't watch WNBA. The third and fourth odds to win the three-point shootout are both 6'5" centers, Stephanie Dolson and obviously Jonquel Jones. That just tells you it would have been nice to see. There would have been a lot more sizzle if Sabrina Ionescu and Caitlin Clark were in a three-point shootout. Something tells me they may end up in some kind of NBA All-Star Game format next year. I call 2-on-2. I want to see the two of them together against Steph Curry and a player of his choice. But when you talk about this competition, Caitlin McBride's a favorite. I am going to go with Marina Mabry to win the three-point shootout. I think she is a dynamic shooter. Now, Kaylin McBride leads the lead in threes, but she's had some moments where she's gone a little bit cold. I think Mabry can take her out. And I'm going to go with the favorite, Wheeler, who is a dynamic, quick lightning guard, can shoot the ball pretty decent. I'll go with her to go and win the skills challenge.
By the way, we're taking, and we're going to get to the NBA in just a second, but just a final point on that. Nothing, you know, like intrigues me more than these sports leagues asking their superstars to help them out, and at every turn, the stars tear them down. Major League Baseball Home Run Derby, the stars don't want to do it. Dunk competition, stars don't want to do it. Three-point contest, the two best that you want to see, both saying we just ego. Don't feel like doing it. Why? Exactly. It makes no sense to me at that point. But when we're talking about ego, ooh, what a good transition here, JY. That's your boy out here, Russell Westbrook, in these streets. Maybe the biggest ego. You take a look at yesterday, ESPN reported that the Clippers were sending Russell Westbrook and a second-round pick swapping cash to the Jazz in a sign-and-trade agreement for guard Chris Dunn. We'll get bought out. We'll probably wind up on the Nuggets. But I'll never forget this day, Coach. Just a few short years ago with the Lakers, he was supposed to be brought into the Lakers as to be that guy that's going to help LeBron James get a breather and still be able to win an NBA championship along the way. And it turned out to the Lakers fans just hoping he went away, and he opted into that $40-plus million contract, which crashed the Lakers' plans, and went out on IG with a video of him in his car singing to a music song in the background. Never forget that. He's all about himself. And now he's with a winning organization. Can he dampen the terms of this winning organization now, Coach?
I mean, they had to do something. I mean, let's be honest. You lost KCP in free agency, right? You lost Bruce Brown last year. You lost Jeff Green last year. You're putting Christian Brown into the starting lineup. They had to do something. Of course, the kid, Deron Holmes, they get him in the draft. He tears his Achilles. It's been bad luck after bad luck. So here comes Russell Westbrook. By the way, shout out to the Utah Jazz. The only time I've heard a team trade for a player twice and he not play one game with the organization. Shout out to Utah for pulling it off again with Russ. But if you're expecting Russ to come in and be this huge difference maker, I mean, I guess off the bench, yeah, but what is he? I mean, what can he do? This is a guy last year who shot the ball 27.3% from the three-point line. Still can get the rebounds and assists, but he's not the guy that you think can really get you over the hump. I really look at a team like, really, because of what they did, Oklahoma City, they're the best team in the Western Conference. I don't know what Russ really does for Denver.
Put that up again just so Donnie can take a look. Donnie mentioned Russell Westbrook on the Lakers. Mm-hmm. We have him in his Lakers uniform despite not being there for the last few seasons. And despite DRS's hate, Russell Westbrook has had a great NBA career. 16 NBA seasons, the 2017 MVP, 9-time All-Star, 199 triple-doubles. In fact, JY, I didn't know Donnie felt this strongly in his hatred for Russ until this very moment. Here's the Denver Nuggets, by the way, in a logjam tied for the second best price in the Western Conference behind OKC. The Thunder, the favorites at plus 310. Then it's the Nuggets, T-Wolves, Mavs, all at a plus 450 price. JY, we appreciate the time as always. Here on this Friday on the Early Line, have a great weekend, my friend. We hope it's wonderful.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. And unlike Donnie, I don't hate. I congratulate. Russ is great, but not this year. And I'm giving you my own fadeaway. I'm calling it.
Do it. You could have done some play-by-play
Travel.
Break, too.
Hey, travel.
Anyway, to the Braves, Major League Baseball.
The other way. Travel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Joe Ranieri joins us live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid to take a look at the second half of this Major League Baseball season, beginning with a full slate on this Friday. Joe, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here. Donnie actually thought you would be co-hosting TEL with him on this Friday, so at least we get an appearance for the next few segments.
I had more faith in you than Donnie, Ben. I knew there was no way you could be somewhere at another wedding. There's just no way that any man could have that many people getting married in a year. But I'm glad to be here between the both of you.
Not this weekend, but believe you me, got a wedding next weekend, but it's in New York City. So it's very, very convenient. I'll be here next Friday as well. So, Joe, before we go to the second half of this Major League Baseball season, let's take a look back on what we saw during the All-Star break. Monday night, the Home Run Derby won by Teoscar Hernandez of the L.A. Dodgers. Tuesday night, the All-Star game in the Midsummer Classic, the AL victorious for the 10th time in the last 11 All-Star games in Boston's Jaron Duran with that game-winning two-run shot in the bottom of the fifth, wins the MVP award. Paul Skeens got the start for the National League. We had a Nerfy in the first inning. Shohei Ohtani hit a three-run bomb to get the scoring started. All of that fun in Arlington on Tuesday night. Joe, I think at the end of the All-Star game, a lot of people look back and say, how can we change the format? Can we make it be more exciting? Can we add some juice to the product? Where do you land in the All-Star game in Major League Baseball? Is it good as is, or would you make some changes to the future format?
Well, I love how Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball, they set the bar so low with the national anthem that the only place that you could go up from that was the game was just going to be a million times better than anybody singing the national anthem like that. Not to mention, that game was played in 2 hours and 28 minutes. Was I the only one that was like, wait a minute, what do you mean the game is over here? It was over. It was also, anybody who went contrarian, very profitable to the over. Yeah. There had been nothing but unders for a long time, and that number hung around 7.5, and it was a contrarian dream there. It was also the book's dream in a home run derby, because I'm fairly certain no public better had Teoscar Hernandez to win the home run derby. So the books were the ones, I think, ultimately that made out during the All-Star game.
Yeah, we take a look at it again. I always like to analyze, like, are we, like, out of our realm at this point? Do we need these All-Star games? And I was, you know, pounding the door for years for the NFL to get rid of that mockery, and they finally did. But the NFL used to always tell us as well, Joe, hey, look, we get just as many. We're like the best viewed show of the week on television. Even though you hate the Pro Bowl, it makes us money. But that doesn't always mean it's great for the product here. The one thing I'll always say about Major League Baseball, you get the truest form of the game itself from the All-Star game at Major League Baseball than any other sport. But it doesn't mean it's great, because when you look at the viewership, you say, hey, look at that, 6% up from last year, without telling the full context of last year was the lowest rated All-Star game of all time. And the Home Run Derby down 11%. That's a simple fix. Put some superstars in there. So I'm asking you this. Are we looking in the next 5 to 6 to 7 years where the All-Star Games gets completely changed, or are they just going to ride this out and say, there's nothing else to watch, some people will watch it, and we'll still make money?
We have this conversation every year. I mean, look at where the NFL started with their, you know, All-Star game versus where it is now. We're playing flag football and things like that. Major League Baseball, no sport lives in the rearview mirror better than Major League Baseball. So I don't see them. A couple of tweaks here and there. Listen, what we got is years of them trying to get games at about 2 hours and 20 minutes. That's their dream game. I'm not a big believer in that. You let the game breathe, and wherever the game goes, the game goes here. But you are never at this point in the season going to convince the biggest names in the sport to participate in this. There's just no way around it. I mean, let's think of it. Outside of Skeens and Corbin Burns, did we, any of us, have a really good idea of who the pitching staffs were going to be and what were the big arms? And, you know, there's a lot of mediocre baseball teams out there that have to have players show up. And outside of Paul Skeens, how many people were interested in anything else that game had to offer? My guess would be not a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, not really the case. But, Joe, we did see some of the biggest stars in MLB on display in Arlington. I think the most noteworthy thing entering All-Star break was the fact that the number one overall pick in the 2023 MLB draft, Paul Skeens, in his rookie year after only 11 career starts, got the nod as the starter for the National League. Earlier in the show, Donnie and I looked at where the individual award races were around Major League Baseball. We'll start in the NL. Skeens is minus 1100 now to win National League Rookie of the Year. And although Chris Sale is the favorite to win the NL Cy Young Award, and Zach Wheeler is only about 40 cents behind, Skeens now has the third best price to win that Cy Young hardware at 5-1. They're already etching his name into the NL Rookie of the Year trophy. But in your estimation, does Paul Skeens have a legitimate chance of winning the National League Cy Young Award this year?
It's going to come down to how relevant is Pittsburgh come middle August. Because if I'm Pittsburgh, this is all fine and dandy, but I didn't bring him up until what, mid-May. I'm a mediocre, a less than mediocre baseball team that may or may not be battling for a ridiculous, you know, eighth wild card spot here in the playoffs. And if I'm not, if things go hard left and all of a sudden they're not in contention by the middle of, how many times are you rolling Skeens out there and for what benefit? How does it benefit Skeens and the Pirates to keep pushing this kid to rack up enough stats and info for people to want to vote for him for this award? He's going to win enough Cy Youngs if he stays healthy over his career. I don't see any reason for them to push him whatsoever here. That's the danger with betting him in that kind of award, is because he might not be pitching come mid-August. Then what do you do? Out of sight, out of mind. We all know that, Ben.
Yeah, and it's a great point you bring up, Joe, because we've gone over this many times where it's out of Paul Skeens' hands whether or not he's going to pitch the final 3 weeks. Pittsburgh is not going to him going like, hey, kid, you got a shot at the Cy Young. Would you like to put an extra 40 innings on your arm coming down the stretch even though we're not going to make the playoffs? There's no way they're going to do that, specifically the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, if we are taking a look at those young power pitchers in the All-Star game, they are fun to watch, and that's certainly some times where you want to tune in and say, you know what, at least I got to watch the first couple innings. I want to see Skeens. Now, if I go quickly back to the All-Star game weekend with Home Run Derby, tell me this. How is it possible that the actual Home Run Derby lasts longer than the All-Star game itself? Can't we pare this down? Can't this be just like an hour and be the – can you imagine a dunk contest going 3.5 hours? It would never do that.
Yep. Yeah, and it was really, I think, hey, ultimately at the end, it was exciting, right? Urgency, it came down to Witt and the Oscar Hanners. That was a lot of fun. The actual semifinal and final was a lot of fun to watch, but it felt like it took a million years to eventually get to that. So I didn't mind the changes to it, but they got to figure out a way, maybe half the participants, and just move on. I mean, you know, give me four. Give me four guys. I'm good to go. The top four
one
and
pitch.
Move on.
They each get one pitch. Yeah, that's right. Each get one pitch. How about that? There you go.
The swing off was great. The swing off was great. Three pitches. Here you go. Everyone loves urgency.
Joe, we've had a joke all year long in the opening half of this Major League Baseball season. Where's the fork? Are we going to put the fork in the Houston Astros to be well done? Are we putting it back in the drawer? It's now completely broken on Houston. I think we can put the fork in Donnie's ideas for what the Home Run Derby means in the significance of his life. He has made a lot of pitches. The longest home run, that being the actual winner, maybe juice the boys up like they were back in the day. Yep. His favorite, though, Ranieri, is a bunt contest like we see in the Korean Baseball League in the KBO. How great would that be? Donnie's a huge fan of it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you got to love Donnie because Donnie puts a lot of thought and effort into these things, man.
This thing is always working. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Joe Ranieri's Major League map. As we get ready to go here in the second half, the home stretch of this 2024 Major League Baseball season, we'll look at the National League pennant prices, then those AL pennant odds as well. Joe, let's start in the National League. Donnie and I have had this conversation so many times. I'm interested to get your take on the idea of the tier of two at the top. The Dodgers still the favorites to win the National League pennant in front of the Phils. But Philadelphia has the best record in MLB, 62-34, and swept the Dodgers in the final week of action before the All-Star break. Is LA correctly priced as the favorite to win the National League pennant in front of Philadelphia?
Oh, No, as far as I'm concerned. And I got another premonition for you here. I think the Dodgers are going to set the Major League Baseball record for the amount of different pitchers they're going to use in one Major League Baseball season. Do we realize that, I mean, when you go down, they've got seven starting pitchers on the IL here, guys. Bueller, Glasnow, Gonsolin, Kershaw, Dustin May, Emmett Sheehan, Yamamoto. They actually signed Brent Honeywell off of the street. He was at an Applebee's, and they had to bring him in last weekend to be able to pitch. This is not going to get, I think, any better. And I think with the Mookie Betts injury, I think they are very susceptible. This was a team that was supposed to win 106.5 games or more this year. You got to be kidding me. I think this is a recipe for disaster. I think the Phillies are in a much better spot than what the Dodgers are. And I think the wrong team is the favorite here to win it all.
I agree with you, Joe, because I think from a totality standpoint of roster construction, the Phillies have it all. Solid bullpen, 1-9 starting pitching, and certainly a great 1-2 punch, which you need for the playoffs. But for the people that have Dodgers tickets right now and the anticipation of the Dodgers in the second half of the season, are you just putting all of your marbles and saying to yourself, you know what, they're going to make a move for two frontline starting pitchers and get another bat at the deadline because that's what the Dodgers do? Is that smart money being thrown at the Dodgers on the anticipation that they could do something?
No, the Dodgers at this point are still so ridiculously overvalued. It's not funny. I think there are way better odds on the board and teams that if you wanted to invest your money and hold on to it for a couple of months to see, I think there are other teams in the National League outside of the Dodgers that have a legit shot. But I'll say this. I can't remember a trade deadline coming up by the 30th here in another week and a half or so that could very well move the needle for a couple of teams because the Dodgers, we already know their pitching issues. How about Milwaukee, another team that's used a million different arms? And when you signed Dallas Keuchel, you've got issues, yet they're in first spot in the National League Central. I think that whoever ends up getting a Tarik Skubal or likes of, I think it's going to move the needle because there are a lot of teams in need of frontline starters, and there just aren't that many to go around.
We're about a week and a half away from the end of July and the Major League Baseball trade deadline on that final day of the month, July 30th. So, Joe, to your point about the Dodgers win total, sky-high expectations, of course, before this season got underway. 102 and a hook was the official number on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Dodgers have played 97 games so far, so in their final 65 here down the stretch, they would have to win 47 of the 65 to go over 102 and a hook. That's a win percentage of 0.723. That would be astronomical, and the Dodgers will still be shorthanded following the All-Star break. Joe, the story before the year in the National League was a tier of two. It was just another NL East team in favor of Philadelphia, the Atlanta Braves. The Phils weren't all that far behind in the pennant prices. The Braves not all that far behind here in the pennant prices as well in the All-Star break. The Braves still, though, despite the injuries, in the top wild card spot and rather comfortably so, despite losing Spencer Strider and the reigning NL MVP, Ronald Acuna Jr. Outside of L.A. and Philadelphia, is it just Atlanta? Can anybody else, in your estimation, win a National League pennant at this current time?
Well, but here's the problem with the Braves, and they've got more pitching questions than we have got answers. And Acuna was a big loss. We get it. But we already saw this Braves organization survive without Acuna in a couple of years ago. And they weren't all that good to begin with, even when Acuna was playing. They ranked 10th in the National League in runs scored, 13th in on-base percentage, and they have a mediocre staff. That is not going to cut it when you're chasing the Dodgers and the Phillies up at the top there. So I can't look at the Braves seriously because I just don't think this is the same team everyone thought they were going to be. We were wrong on the Braves heading into this year, and it's time everyone admits to it. I think what's going to be fascinating is what are we doing with a team like the Padres? What are we doing with a team like the Cardinals, by the way, who since May 11th, you know, the team with the best record in Major League Baseball, it ain't the Dodgers, it ain't the Phillies, people. It's the Cardinals who have figured it out once again. So I don't mind any sort of future bet to back the Cardinals to overtake the Brewers. And the Cardinals, if they can, they're going to spend the money. Too proud of a baseball organization in baseball city not to push all in. The Cardinals, if you're looking for a long shot, is not a bad look.
Yeah, if the season ended today, Joe, the wild card at least, it would be the Braves, the St. Louis Cardinals, and the New York Mets. Now, answer me this question about the Mets here and what their future is going to be. Pete Alonso, obviously a big free agent. They'll probably tackle that problem in the offseason, whether they keep him or not. But what do the Mets do at the trade deadline here? Because they have an owner that has more money than anybody out here, but it looks like they're trying to practice some, you know, physical restraint at this point to say, we might give you a bat or two. Are they going to add to actually make the playoffs? Or are they going to stick to their long-term plans right now?
I think the next week is going to be paramount in the Mets figuring out what direction they're going here. I think if they come out firing and they've got a 5-6-7 game winning streak heading into the trade deadline, I think Cohen will spend the money. If they don't, I think this team is about to get lit on fire and start from scratch.
It's going to be very, very interesting to see what the New York Mets do. Of course, they were 16-8 in June. They turned their entire season around. 9-4 in the month of July as well. I think they're going to remain put. They're in that third and final NL wild card spot here after the All-Star break. So the American League up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now over to the American League as the All-Star break comes to a close and a full Friday slate begins the second half of this MLB regular season. The third and final segment in a row for Joe Ranieri, the hardest working man at the Spiz Grid. So, Ranieri, as we look at the American League, unlike the National League with only three teams having a three-digit price to win a pennant, that would be the Dodgers, the Phillies, and the Braves, there are six teams with a 9-1 price or shorter to win the American League pennant. Based on the odds makers, do you consider the AL pennant race to be a little bit more up in the air?
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think the American League also going to be very interesting to see what happens at the trade deadline. I think there are going to be some Toronto pieces available. I think they begin to hit the reset button with that organization. I think the Guardians completely overachieved in the first half, and I think we're starting to see a peek into what we're going to get in the second half since they, lost 4 or 5 heading into the break and 11 of their last 18. I mean, they've been a great story. They've been good, but, you know, they lost Bieber to start. They lost their ace. They still have a good bullpen, but I'm not buying the Guardians. I think the Twins are very much alive in that division to begin with. And I think with the Yankees and the Orioles, it comes down to, can the Yankees get enough to help and support that bullpen? And can the Orioles get enough at the trade deadline to solidify that front end of their rotation? I think it's going to be a battle down to the end between the Yankees and the Orioles. And it wouldn't shock me if it comes down to the final week of the season between those two.
Yeah, we take a look at the Guardians, too. Best overall record in the American League. If you just ask the casual fan who's leading it, they probably would say Yankees and or Orioles at this point. So it is going to come down to the deadline. Let me ask you this question. If we are looking at the Guardians, the Orioles, Mariners, Yankees, Twins, Red Sox in that order, who is actually going to win the deadline? Because in the National League, we just figure it's going to be the Dodgers. Who is going to spend at the deadline to make their team better in your estimation?
Make no mistake, the Dodgers and the Orioles, the report is, are in a bidding war for Tarik Skubal. I think the Dodgers are willing to outspend the Baltimore organization hands down here. I think the big question on everyone's mind is, what is Cashman and Hal going to do here at the break? Because they clearly have some holes in that roster, but guys, they're 18 games over 500 with huge holes in the roster. And they got their front end ace back there in Gerrit Cole. So the Yankees, to me, are still the favorite and the team to beat in the American League pennant race.
The Yankees and Gerrit Cole start their second half at home today against the Tampa Bay Rays, a minus 172 price on that money line. Joe, you said the Cleveland Guardians overachieved in the opening half before the All-Star break. Best record in the American League, 58-37, a half game better than that of Baltimore. Minus 165 right now for the Guardians to win the American League Central with a 4.5 game advantage at the break over the Minnesota Twins. Do you think the Guardians will get tested by Minnesota in the division? Could the Royals make a run to make things interesting? What is your second half outlook on Cleveland?
Yeah, I definitely think the regression will continue. We saw it in the final month there, heading into the All-Star break, and I think you're going to continue to see it here. And I do believe that, and listen, as good as the Guardians play and having the best record in the American League, and they're only, what, 4.5 games on top of Minnesota? I think that tells you everything you need to know here. I would not sleep on Minnesota. I think they have the arms in the bullpen. You got Joe Ryan at the top of that rotation. You're still rolling Carrasco out every fifth day here, Guardians. Like, I just don't think they are great bullpen, but I don't think that's going to be enough for them to run away. I think Minnesota is very much alive in a dog spot here to take it.
If we take a look also at some of those teams looking to get in, right, on the wild card, it's the Yankees, Twins, and the Red Sox, if we focus on that today. Who is that surprise team behind them? Because the Royals are right there. The Astros are making a move. The Tampa Bay Rays, you can't count out. Who is one of those teams that you figure of the teams that are not in the playoffs right now could possibly make the playoffs?
Well, how about this Tampa Bay team here? Do we think that look at the reinforcements they have coming back here? I mean, the arms that they have coming back and their availability could very much, and we all know, I mean, listen, remember what happened a year ago, guys, when we went to the break. I think the Reds were one of the best teams in the National League. Yeah. The Mets were there. A lot can happen over the next 2 months, but I wouldn't sleep on Tampa making the playoffs either.
And even 500 right now for the Rays. They won 4 of their last 6 before the All-Star break. Joe Ranieri, as always, we appreciate the time. Have a wonderful weekend. Hour number 3 is up next on the Early Line.
Moto Casino is pure American energy. Born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Moto, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.